What's up and hello again. Welcome back to This Week in the FCL. I am, as always, Andrew the Elk Kelk, and we're going to be talking about a lot of exciting stuff happening in the world of online movie trivia today. We've got two big matches to talk about. The first match, it's Robert versus Robert, until someone in the FCL watches Bill Murray and Richard Dreyfuss and says, hey, what about Bob? And in our main event, we have Knight taking on Furtado, the long-awaited return of Andrew Furtado. Will Knight rise or will Knight fall? We actually have John Knight live in studio to discuss everything that happened. We're going to talk about both of those matches with my co-host as we get into all the action of this week in the FCL. That's right, fans. Once again, This Week in the FCL is live. We've got a wonderful special guest with us, but let's start by introducing ourselves. I am the Elk, and my co-host joining me. Welcome back. The other glorious return of the FCL this week. That's right. It's Ryan Permison.
Hello, everyone. Good to be back. Good to be here with you. This is going to be a fun show. Lots of joy, lots of things to celebrate. Maybe a few things we need to be arguing about, but other than that, it's going to be fun.
And, of course, the thorn in my side, he will not stop annoying all of our favorite guests. That's right. The man from all the way across the pond, it is Keith Kilduff.
I've started taking a course in how to be nicer to people. I've decided to take a new approach, and I'm going to try something this week and try and be nicer.
Well, the fans will hate it if you use that on me, but for the guests, probably a good idea. Speaking of guests, what a wonderful guest we have. We're welcoming him back. He's one of our favorite folks in the FCL. Not the collector this week. We are talking with John Knight.
Hello, hello. Thank you for having me again, gentlemen. I can't wait to get into it. It's going to be a fun-ass show. And very dramatic.
We'll make it as painless as it can be, John. Don't worry. We'll make it as painless as it can be.
Certainly was an entertaining match you put on with your opponent, Mr. Furtado, and we will have a lot to say about it, I'm sure, John. But before we get into that, we have a whole lot else to talk about in the FCL, don't we, Keith?
We do. I had the pleasure and privilege of continuing our spotlight series this week, where I got to talk to the executive producer and head question writer, Mr. Paul D'Annunzio, and he managed to give us a few little inside nuggets, one being that Inner Geekdom is starting in July. So I would like to know what you guys think of that and who do we think is going to appear in Inner Geekdom. Ryan, take us away. Who you got? I know you've got a little crush of yours who might turn up in IG.
Well, I guess the cat's out of the bag. Yes, Keaton Marquis, looking forward to seeing her debut in the Inner Geekdom division within the FCL. Looking forward to seeing that happen. As far as other competitors, there's a few others out there that unfortunately they're just not coming to me. But other than that, I'm looking forward to seeing the Inner Geekdom division make its way into the FCL. I'm sure John Knight has some words for that. And John Knight, if you do enter the Inner Geekdom division, you're going to kick tail and take some names. Just saying. But yeah, so yeah, it should be exciting, guys. It's good stuff. Can't wait to see it.
Very interesting. I did not know that was – that's a good thing to know. I will say with full confidence that if that's happening, you definitely will see the collector there for sure.
Scoop, another scoop.
Right, exactly. And that's a lot more confident because especially with movie release dates, all that. But – yeah, as you all know, comic book movies and all that is my jam. Obviously, I'll have to get up on those little freaky elves that walk the forest somewhere and wizards and all that stuff. But so I look forward to that. That's going to be a thing. Also, I wish like they had Star Wars was just a thing. Just let comic book movies be a thing. I would literally be undefeated forever. But like, I need them to make that a thing, please. Forget the elves, forget the wizards. Just have comic book movies and nerd them. Just have that do it and it'll be glorious. But you'll definitely for sure see me do a crack at that. I'll be very interested in doing that.
Anyone else spring to your mind, Andrew? I know, like, I kind of called out Mr. James Shimo that he wanted to be a simultaneous IG and Star Wars champion in the Schmodown, so maybe he could throw his name in the ring. Is there anyone else kind of on the roster that comes to mind for you?
I mean, there's a couple of thoughts that have run through my head on this, and obviously I'm a huge fan of the idea of inner geekdom. You know, from our discussions, I'm a big Harry Potter guy. I love the MCU, and there's a lot of stuff in there that I love. And I agree with you, John. I absolutely agree with you about comic book movies. Maybe they might have to differentiate like non-MCU or non-DCEU, but the rest of the comic movies, there's still a good broad range of movies, lots of fun stuff to talk about. Yeah, absolutely. I want to see some old school comic book films. Definitely would be a category I'd love to see on the wheel. But yeah, maybe it's recency. Maybe it's that we're going to talk about them today. But I'm thinking of two different groups of people, both of whom are reactors. They watch all the trailers, and I know they watch all the movies. I would not be surprised to see any of the members of the Addams Family or of Late to the Party showing up in Intergeekdom. Yeah. I know if Robert's still around kicking butt in the singles league, he's definitely going to want to keep impressing. He's definitely going to want to keep getting those matches out there. And Intergeekdom would be another place for him to really shine.
I think that there's potential for a nice little division there, because you've got Kat and Sonny. They have openly said that they would be interested in kind of the IG Star Wars end of things. I think Haybon is a guy, you know, he made his kind of name in IG in the Schmodown. Sean Chandler was on the draft list as an IG player. Alana Jordan was there. You've got Warfather. You've got David Moore. Like, there's 6, 7, 8, 9 names that we've already got. So there's a nice little gauntlet potentially there for them straight away off the bat.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely true that there's a lot of interest in IG in the Schmodown in general. I mean, if you've paid attention, at one point, this was a division where every match was a five-way, and that was most of the division. And in a short period of time, it became one of the most popular things in the Schmodown. I think a lot of people looking to get to the Schmodown, they're following in those same kind of footsteps. Do the study, learn the films that you know you can learn, and you're already probably, if you're a nerd, if you're watching YouTube videos about movie trivia, you've probably already seen a bunch of these. I'm not surprised we've got a lot of great Intergeekdom competitors, but what that means for the FCL, of course, is opportunity. And I'm excited. If we have a robust Intergeekdom division ready to go, then I say, give me those matches. I will tune in to every single one of them with absolute rap interest.
Knight, do you think in the same way that for Star Wars that they've included some of the TV shows, that there's a potential for Falcon and the Winter Soldier, Loki, WandaVision? Do you think that we see a small screen IG slice as well, potentially?
Oh, it better. Absolutely. Like, there's no way you can't and just ignore those. Like, you absolutely have to have those involved. So I hope that they do and take that into consideration. If not consideration, just do it.
So I think, listen, we're all excited for IG. That's great. What else was on the docket this week, Andrew?
This week on the docket, we are going to, of course, be talking about all the matches that happened. I don't know if there was anything else breaking out in the news. I'm not missing anything, am I, Ryan? Am I, Keith?
The only thing is the Adams cutscene in between the two matches that we finally got an introduction to the gentleman, Mr. Chris Adams. He's going to make his debut. Ryan, do you foresee Chris having a similar knowledge base as his brother Robert, or how do you think he's going to get on?
Yeah, I think there's going to be a bunch of similarities there for sure. But also, you know, Chris has to carve out his own, you know, path to get to the, you know, get to the top and potentially go for a title match somewhere down the line. But yeah, he has some similar strengths, but he also could surprise us with some other ones as well.
There was a lot of interesting stuff going on in this promo, in my opinion, Keith. As an old school wrestling fan, obviously the tale as old as time when it comes to a group of people who come up, who show up in a league or a division or any company together, one of them is going to stand out. They're going to be the star. They're going to be the head of the pack. They're going to get all the attention to start with. And in this case, it looks like that is not Chris Adams. So what does Chris Adams do? He does what everybody does. He gets a little pissed off about it. He gets a little angry. Where's my attention? Where's my match? Where's my glory? And he's going to get his chance to have that match, to make that glory. This is a classic for a reason, to see two people working together, have this kind of rivalry, and we could see some great things come out of it. Depending on the wins, the losses, how these two compete, it could be a great big showdown between both of the Adams, which would very much be exciting. It could be one of them outshining the other, really giving them a reason to stand out and shine on their own. I mean, I'm thinking this has a lot of potential. And I think that both the Adams are really doing their part to help make the FCL better. I will say, it is evident that Chris Adams maybe hasn't done as much acting before. Just a little bit. Just a little bit. Maybe it's comfort. Maybe he was a little nervous on this one. But I think there's a lot of potential here, and I can't wait to see where it goes. But, of course, somebody might disagree with me. I know John Knight doesn't always appreciate my opinion.
Well, I will say I did not get a chance to see his promo for obvious reasons. But I will have to go back and check that out. But the Adams, you know, I've come and, you know, had a few interactions, you know, with them during this run. So it's, I'm very intrigued to see what, you know, this brings. I don't know his character work or what's going on. Like I said, I have to take a look and use that, study that so I can, you know, rub it in his face down the line. But I'm very curious to see, because like I said, it's been a minute. You know, Robert has been kind of front and center. So now it's good to see what, you know, he can bring. Who's he facing? Has that been like announced or anything yet or no?
Who knows? Yeah, nothing official as far as I know.
No.
Got it. It'd be good, interesting to see him go up against Maxwell. That'd be interesting.
Certainly, we would all love to see the debut of Maxwell Haddad. We here at This Week in the FCL have had a lot of conversations about Maxwell Haddad after the shows in the background. Certainly, he is talking a big game. We are all looking forward, Maxwell, to seeing you make your debut and see if you can, in fact, perform on the level that you purport.
Twitter gangster. Yeah.
Check that out. Because a lot of people know how to talk. Heck, we're gonna call with one of them right now. Mr. Knight here, he knows what it's like to talk a big talk. And sometimes you got to get in that ring and walk a big walk, which is what we're going to talk about as we talk about the competitors in our matches today, I think.
Definitely. I think let's get into it. There's a lot to break down this week. FCL Week 9 has come and gone. Two more amazing matches this week. First off, saw the return of the two Roberts, Adams v. Montano, in a little bit of a reaction war, so to speak. Cine Fanatics versus Late to the Party. Robert Adams came in quite hot, looking to kind of really make a statement in this match. With his promo, was kind of talking a big, big game. Montano still kind of, shall we say, a little bit heartbroken somewhat, and maybe just living a different life, thinking that Sam Levine is still his manager. But coming into round one, Montano, for the second match in a row, goes perfect, 9-9. Robert Adams missing the first question, which was in Action Adventure with the Denzel Washington 2004 Man on Fire question. Other kind of notable ones in the round, there's a nice little central intelligence between The Rock and Kevin Hart. Fantasy Sci-Fi saw what was the first Riddick movie in 2000, sorry, with Vin Diesel. There was a horror thriller question I want to ask the kind of the group here. This 96 Andrew Fleming, four outcast girls forming a covenant, whatever the word is, my apologies, The Craft. Probably. Thank you, Ryan. And listen, I'll go to you, Ryan, then. Did you know this movie?
Considering how long and descriptive these questions are during these matches, it's kind of hard to miss a few, especially when they're trying to beat you over the head with the fact that, yes, Neve Campbell, Rachel True, Feruja Balk, a.k.a. Dorothy from Return to Oz, which, by the way, grew up watching that movie, Feruja. You're awesome. And yes, I knew The Craft, Keith, because I may never have seen the movie, but I've seen the poster and I've seen clips of it on TV, you know, something called network television, which used to be a thing like 20 years ago. So yeah, I would have picked up on that question. Yes, sir.
Andrew, Montano, second time in a row going 9-9, really laying down a big, big marker in this league.
Well, there's some things that are just taken for granted, and in this case, it's Robert Montano playing perfectly in the FCL. So far, at the end of this round, and we've got two more to go, he has not missed. He's ubiquitous. He's always there getting the right answer, and he's kind of making it look easy. I mean, I don't know if you guys were watching, but through the whole thing, he's throwing out extra information. He's joking around with Brad, with Steph, with his fellow competitor. I could not be more impressed with the way he was looking in this first round. And yeah, Robert Adams came to play, obviously, but man, Montano is looking pretty darn unstoppable.
John, if I can come to you for a second, how coming into this league, obviously, you know, there's guys that we know, you know, the likes of Montano and Late to the Party, Vanessa, et cetera, et cetera. And then there's guys like yourself coming in who the audience aren't as familiar with, shall we say. How do you find when you're playing or kind of interacting with these guys who've been there, done that? Do you find it kind of surreal that you're around these sort of personalities, or is it just kind of business as usual? They're all on a list.
No, not at all. Not to two. Granted, the fall off certainly due to my own nature, but I was one of the OG reactors. So it was like, I knew all of them before. Like they were like the big in names before they are now. So I'm like, I'm used to being around all these cats, you know? So it's fun to be around, you know, to know that seeing what all of us have kind of come from and now being in this league together, you know, it's very exciting, very fun. And it makes it, you know, even that more pleasurable whenever eventually I start to kick ass. So that'll be a good feeling. But no, it's for sure fun to look around and see everybody, you know, with me and all together.
Awesome. Well, listen, 7-9 to Montana. We move into round two. Our nice little wheel comes up. Interesting kind of mishmash of categories. I know I keep saying this every week, but we're getting kind of M Night. We're getting Anne Hathaway. I think it's the first time on the wheel for her. Black cinema's kind of tilted with comedies. They kind of put them together potentially. Nora Ephron was put on the wheel for the second time in the league. That's an interesting call out. So Montano defers to Adams, and listen, the last couple of weeks I've been throwing a load of sports references out. I've got another one that I want to kind of pitch to you, but it's okay. It's a darts term, and in darts, when a guy is under pressure, the commentators will always say that you need to hold your throw. And what they mean by that is when you are going first, you need to kind of hold yourself and make sure that you do everything right. And Montano deferring to Adams, he has to hold his throw here on the wheel, and he has to go 8 for 8. Spins the wheel first. M. Night Shyamalan says no. Respins, takes Tom Cruise, and unfortunately can only go 5 of 8, and opens up the opportunity to bleed more on the fourth question, which is this Cruise and Newman question. Adams says it's all the right moves, which is incorrect. And Montana, without flicking a beat, just turns around and says, color of money, 2-point steal. And that gap is just extended even more. It's 12-11 then on Montano's spin. Oh, sorry, my apologies. It's 12-11 to Adams, apologies, on coming into the Montano spin. And then we get this beautiful assortment of Tom Cruise, where the wheel just doesn't want to give us anything for Cruise. Cruise first, respin, Anne Hathaway decides he doesn't want it. Then we get two more Cruises, and finally a spinner's pops up. Decides to take comedies and clears the decks, 8 for 8. We get a Mitch Buchanan 2017 Baywatch question. We get John Watson in Holmes and Watson. We get a Forgetting Sarah Marshall question about Dracula being the Muppet. And then we get this 89 film with Jim Belushi and a dog, K9. There's a bit of mishmash about it, but I have a point that I want to raise later on. But listen, 1912, the writing's on the wall here for Adams. Andrew, what did you think of the round all in all?
I mean, I think you summed it up very well. It's, again, great round for Montano. I can't say over and over again, Montano goes perfect. Great round for Montano. But frankly, I'm going to have to the way he's been playing. And I think that Robert Adams handled himself pretty well here. I am a little shocked. And it's not necessarily a bad thing. It's all entirely on him. He knows his strengths better than I do. But I'm a little shocked to see someone in the FCL spin away from M. Night Shyamalan. We know we've seen some surface-level questions in every category. And M. Night, even if you count production, has, what, a dozen movies you really have to know? So a little bit surprised. But, again, that's on the strengths. And, yeah, for the most part, well-handled. But you can't give up that steal, especially not when your opponent is doing what Robert's doing here. Good round, not going to be good enough, and good job on deferring. You're right. Put the pressure on. Find out where you are before you have to take your own.
Hey, there's a lot of movies that you want to forget with M. Night. So it's kind of
that is true. I will not a lot of deep cut trivia questions from Devil going to be in the front of my brain. I'll agree.
Ryan, we're seeing a specific category in Tom Cruise being selected as opposed to a kind of a broader category in comedies? Where do you kind of stand on kind of a selection if you've got the choice of everything? Do you go like specific like on one thing, or do you think like for a comedies you're okay?
I mean, it really depends on the competitor, what they feel most comfortable with. But, you know, personally, I'd maybe go with something a little bit more broader like comedies, because Tom Cruise, for example, I haven't seen every single film that Tom Cruise has starred in. I know, Tom, I'm sorry. I have homework to do after this broadcast. I apologize. I'm going to do my best to catch up. It's a lot, okay? But when you go with comedies, you're likely to get some questions that you may be a little bit more familiar with than you originally think. You may think comedies or another category may slip up, but then again, they may ask you about certain movies from your generation or certain movies that you remember growing up on and watching a lot of. So yeah, Montano just cleaning house, no worries. I mean, the guy hardly broke a sweat during this entire match. Robert Montano, for example, he didn't really break a sweat. He was just sitting there with his usual suspects mug and drinking whatever that mystery beverage is of the week in that Hoochie Bopper, and then he just went to town.
John, I want to ask you something as the competitor on screen at the moment. So there's an interaction here in Montano's last question, and I'm going to play it out word by word, and I want to ask you a question on it. So the question, the 89 Jim Belushi with a dog question, is asked. Montano turns around and he says these words: I don't remember if it's K9, K9, or K9 cop. Steph turns around and says K9, just K9 is correct. Do you say challenge on the basis that he's given three answers technically, you've taken one, and you didn't ask him what his final answer was?
Well, when you put it that way, I definitely would have. I'm like, you need to give me a damn answer. Like, don't try to give me a range of things. So I probably would have, because like I said, I was very much so in and out of the match. Yeah. But I did see the ending of that. We didn't really pay that mind to us. So that's a very good thing. So I probably would have caught it in the moment. If I was competing, I probably would be like, yeah, you need to pick one. Like, you're not going to give me three options. You'd be like, well, it's K9. There you go. So yeah, I definitely probably would have challenged that a bit to be like, give me one. So yeah.
Andrew, is that a fair kind of call out to make, do you think?
Well, I mean, there's a lot to look at with this. You're absolutely right that does bear a moment to kind of examine and kind of figure out what's going on. And I can only speak not as a competitor, although I've done a match or two in my day, but I can speak more from perhaps Steph Sabra's side of things, because I did spend, as you know, a few months calling matches in a fan league. And when I was doing that, this is not the hardest mistake to make in my mind. I do believe clarification should have been there. I do think maybe a challenge might have been called for. You're spreading out across a whole range of answers, one of which is correct. But as an announcer, you hear a competitor, especially someone on the level of Montano, who's been so easy with all of his answers, give you the correct answer as part of what he says. It's very easy to just say he's going to take the point. And further to that, I don't know if anyone's considering this, but maybe Montano is just playing on a level that we're not even thinking about. Maybe he knew that he couldn't get the question if he just guessed the wrong one. So he specifically played that out. Who's he up against? He's up against Robert Adams. Does Robert Adams look like the kind of guy who's going to challenge if they give him the answer? Maybe he won't. So could there have been some strategy there? The truth of the matter is, I doubt it. Robert Montano does not seem the type. But it could be something like that. That said, it's a makeable mistake. Hopefully they'll be on the lookout for stuff like that in the future. I would have absolutely liked to see a challenge here, because as you know, I'm very much about the competitors always, always, always looking for that point where they can get it no matter what. And if you don't use a challenge at the end of round two, when are you going to use it?
This is very true. So we're moving into round three. It's 19-12 to Montana. Like, it's a massive, massive gap. So we move into round three. It's all on Adams. Hits his two and Harrison Ford, Blade Runner 2049. Hits his three, the 80s movie, what actor was in Teen Wolf, Bright Lights, Big City, and Michael J. Fox. And then he goes on this five-pointer, this biopics, the Oliver Stone 95. You know, he's done this movie, he's done this movie, but what's the one in the middle? And fair play to Adams. He's done something that, you know, we've been calling out the last couple of weeks. He's used all his time, he's used all his JTEs, he's milked down the clock, he's given himself the best chance possible of getting to the answer, gets the answer in Nixon. Montano isn't happy at all. But listen, forced it back on him. Montana hits the two, The Black Cinema, The Boys in the Hood, Matrix director, Lawrence Fishburne, and then And Your Winner comes with the three-pointer, to Tom Hanks, Denzel Washington as the attorney in Philadelphia, 24-22. Good, good win for Montana. 100% accuracy, 100% points earned across his first two matches. Massive, massive statement made. Ryan, what did you make of round three?
Round three was crazy with the Nixon pull, because honestly, I really thought he didn't. I was thinking, like Robert Montano was thinking, he didn't have it. He wasn't going to be able to pull it. Even with all the JTE rules that he used, didn't think he was going to pull it. And I was thinking a completely different movie. I wasn't thinking Nixon at all. I was thinking a different president. I'm thinking to myself, this is a five-pointer, because even I'm a smart guy, fellas. I'm a smart guy. But even I couldn't pull that one out of my hat. So my hat's off to Adams for pulling that, because that's a huge pull. So that had me on the edge. I think it had all of us on the edge of our proverbial seats. So yeah, round three was incredible. Of course, Robert Montano getting the win and sipping that victory drink. You know, what does it smell like? It smells like victory. And I'm happy, because Robert Montano is the man. And he's officially late to the party. So my hat's off to both competitors. It was a great match. Adams hung in there, especially with round three. That was a huge pull. One of the biggest shockers of the entire season, of the first season, the inaugural season of the FCL. So great job to both Roberts. But, of course, Montano's the man. I knew he was going to win this thing. And even though you had a little bit more worried there, Robert. But still, you won the match. So my hat's off to you.
Andrew, Brad name drops Gerbatoli's name as a potential opponent for Montano next. Do you like that matchup?
I do like that matchup. I think that is it's a good holding pattern matchup. Unfortunately, you are putting two very strong competitors with good records so far against each other, which means one of them is going to take a bit of a knock to their image. But at this point, with the way Montano has been playing, I think maybe they're looking to hold him around, make sure he still has a place and be ready for a potential title matchup. Because I think he's, at this point, looking like the odds-on favorite to be locked in as the first challenger once we have a champion. I don't think there's any other way it goes. But, of course, if Bitolia comes in and upsets him, we've got something else interesting then. We've got a bit of a rivalry between two guys who both know what they're doing, can cut a promo, and have some real knowledge. I would be excited to see that. I think you've got some good outcomes no matter which way that one goes. That said, I think in the end, what they're probably hoping for, as I said, is most likely hold Montano around, keep him showing up, and then put him in a title match as soon as you can, because I think that's a very, very likely possibility shortly down the road.
That's fair. I think even in defeat, I was actually quite impressed with Adams. I thought he played a lot better than he did in his first match.
7-point recovery.
Like, it's massive. And, like, I think, you know, he's 1-1 now, but he kind of goes back into that kind of mid-range pack, I think. But I think there's still a lot for him to go into. But let's get into the main event. The man on the screen, part of it, Mr. Knight. before we talk about the match, there was so much great content between you and Furtado beforehand, all the promos, all the pieces. How, like, let's pull back the curtain just a little bit. Like, how much planning did you guys do to make this and hype this as much as you could?
Oh man, there was a lot of planning. We was like, listen, whoever wins, whatever going on, we need to make sure this is the biggest damn match the FCL has ever had. And with high confidence, I could say we achieved that. And there was so much, and even stuff that he didn't even know that I did, like the whole picture thing and the whole video release, all that, you know, the Twitter hack, he had no idea. So it's like we had plans, but then we also had stuff that we were just improvising on, because we just know, like, at this point, like I said, we're really good buds outside of this now. Like I said, I love that guy. But it's like, so we kind of known based on our characters and how we do, like how this one will react, how to play towards it. So we just kind of went for it. And we're very proud of what we did. You know, we got a lot of attention from the fans and competitors in the FCL, the Schmodown. So it's like we wanted to aim high, and high we did. And we're both very, very proud of that.
It was some of the best stuff I think we've seen in the first kind of 8 or 9 weeks, definitely. But Listen, let's get into it. Round one. It's not a great round for you, unfortunately. No. It's
like that.
I'm trying this nice thing. We're trying, okay?
Be nice.
But you dip off kind of where you left off in your first game. You only hit four in the first round. There's a couple of misses. The Kevin Smith kind of what's his first movie? You say Mallrats. It's Clerks. There's the Aragon movie, the fantasy sci-fi one. I was watching it live. I was saying, is it Aragon? But it's not a movie I've seen, and it's definitely not a movie that I know the cast of. And then unfortunately, you missed the last two in horror thriller, and you miss animated. Furtado kind of top and tails. He misses the first one, the A-Team one. When he missed that one, he looked like he was going to start being in his head. Did you get that vibe off him, or did you think, listen, it's only first question?
I was like, it's only first question. I didn't think too much into it. Because like I said, once I started missing mine, that's why I was like, oh, Jesus. The Clerks one, I take full reign of responsibility for that. Because I was literally battling between those two. Because I was like, they were both, which one fucking came first? Because they were both old as hell, black and white, standard, like, you know, Kevin Smith type film. So I was like, which one came first? And I was like, you know what? I'm going to just run with it. I'll take it. Said Mallrats was wrong. I was like, okay, damn, fine. Then the question came up about that damn dragon, fucking Aragorn and all that stuff. I was like, I knew exactly what movie was talking about. Exactly what movie. I was like, okay, I know the cast verbatim, and I didn't even know the main kid, the little blonde head dude, forgot who it was. But the name couldn't get me. It was right there. I was like, what is it? I know it was something with it. He was like, I couldn't grab it. So I was like, damn. Okay, took a hit. And then there was something else. What was the other one?
So you missed the horror thriller one, this Claire Foy 24 Hours in the Psych Ward 2018 Soderbergh movie.
I thought it was something with an S. Like, I thought it was like Sane or Sanity or something like that. I was like, I was trying to remember what, 'cause I knew exactly what movie it was again. But I was like, I thought it started with an S. So that what happened was like Unsane. I was like, damn. Yep, that's it. Okay. So first round was kind of rough. It was a lot of answers. I knew the movie, couldn't grab. Very obscure type films, like damn Aragorn. Nobody
only 10 people saw, including
right. Me. So I was like, okay. But I was like, there's a lot of game left, so I just tried to remain confident. Just going into the next rounds.
Ryan, you knew The Craft in the first match. Did you know Unsane in this one?
All right, you know what? I'm willing to admit when I've done something wrong. And the fact is, I would not have been able to pull that because I can see the poster, I can see the actress, but I could not for the life of me pull the title. I'm like,
all
I
know it has something to do with her. All that
she has her iPhone, and it's like it has to do with her being in a mental institution or a mental hospital or whatever it is. But I couldn't pull Unsane because I'm like, well, isn't she insane? No. She's trying to prove that she's sane. She's just Unsane. So I'm like, oh, opposites. All right. So no, Keith. Rub it into my face. No, I would not have been able to pull Unsane. As much as I can see the poster, see the actress, Claire Foy, great actress. It's like, I haven't seen the movie yet, but it's like I can see the poster. I remember the trailer, but it's like, no, couldn't pull it, Keith. So no, I would have gotten that point wrong.
Andrew, as the resident Furtado number one fan, you must have been quite happy with his round one.
Look, I'm not going to knock anybody down in this round number one. And the truth is, the long and short, is this the greatest points scoring performance in the history of the FCL from either of these competitors? No, it is not. My apologies to you, Mr. Knight. However, is this perhaps the greatest performance by a member of the FCL? Greatest pair of performances? These two are on absolute fire. Forget the points. Throw it all out the damn window. I hate Furtado. I love Furtado. I'm scared of Knight. I want him to hit the question. I want him to miss the question. These guys are playing with the emotions of the fans. They understand that it's about the entertainment. And to be fair and to completely balanced, I think that might have hurt both of you as you got a little in your own heads about that, particularly later on in the matchup. But you got to give it to them. I mean, round of applause for Mr. Knight and Mr. Furtado. This match kicks off in round number one with performances like we've never seen. And I know, and you know, we've seen the rest of this match. We know how it turns out. We know neither of these guys are going to slow down. So kudos to you, John, and kudos to Mr. Furtado, who I am a big fan of. I've made no bones about it. I think he's a talented performer. I think he's got enough knowledge to really compete. I think he's going places, just like you, Mr. Knight, may soon be going places. As you're going to be back, you're going to have more matches. And if you keep performing on this level, I don't think the points matter all that much. There are performers that you need in your league, and John Knight, Andrew Furtado, definitely proving right out of the gate that they are performers in the league. I'm loving it so far.
So let's move into round two. And again, much like my kind of sports reference that I made in the first match, it kind of holds true again. Like, John, you need to kind of hold your throw here now in this second round. The wheel comes up. There's Arnie and Sly. There's Fast and Furious, Saturday Night Live, remakes, reboots, Kevin Smith, Action Adventure, and so forth. You spin 80s and you say, no, let's go again. Fast and the Furious comes up. As a man who, let's say, is Luke Hobbs light, shall we say? I feel
Luke
like
Hobbs you, adjacent.
Luke right. Hobbs adjacent. I feel like you were more than happy enough as that to take that. And listen, you killed the round. You go 8 for 8. Vanessa Kirby's in what? Hobbs and Shaw. Gal Gadot, The Rock came in the franchise in Fast 5, and then Race Wars was obviously the name of the big event in the first Fast movie. 8 for 8, boom. Furtado's up, opponent's choice. Before we get to why you picked Amy Adams, were you surprised, based on the fact that he did so well in horror in his first match, that there wasn't a horror thriller slice or a horror adjacent slice on the wheel?
No, to be honest with you, I'm not going to lie, I didn't even think about that. I was just so in the match. I didn't even think about that in the damn slice, which I'm sure, obviously, you're about to get into. Not going to lie, the wheel wasn't hard. There wasn't a lot of, like, out there choices and just, like, to really stub somebody. So I was like, and this is where I thought about it after the fact. I've talked about it. So I picked Amy. So I'm like, it's fucking Amy Adams. It's like, whatever. And I'm sitting here thinking, I could have A, helped myself with this, and B, could have thrown him off completely, because I've never once in my life, short span time knowing this man and seeing him in all media and all thing, ever bring up a damn comic book movie ever. So it's like, I should have chose that, and if he got it wrong, I could easily, boom, bounce back, got him. And we spoke about it after. He's like, bro, I am horrible at comic book. Like, I have not a damn thing. I was like, great. And I should have thought about that after the match, but once you're in there, you don't think about outside and all that stuff in the moment. So I was like, damn. So yeah, I end up picking Amy, and we see what happens.
So yeah, so he misses his first one. You take a nice little 2-point steal with the co-star in American Hustle. He says Bradley Cooper, but it's Christian Bale. And then he goes 6 for 6 in his next three, the Giselle in As Enchanted, the Tim Burton directs Big Eyes, and then Trouble with the Curve, the 2012 sports drama with Clint Eastwood. So you flipped the script on him completely now, and you're up 14-12. So you must be feeling pretty okay in yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's like that Trouble in the Curve, that was the only like challenging one out of all those damn Amy Adams questions. And I was like, can you make it as any simple as possible with those damn questions? I was like, come on. That's why every time they asked a question, you literally saw me just go back. I'm like, well, he got this, he got that, he got that. With Trouble with the Curve, I was like, ooh, all right, a challenge. Here we go. And he still got that one. I was like, son of a bitch, but I'm like, good roll. But I was like, those questions, like, Jesus Christ. But you know, they're starting to get better with the questions and making them a little bit more in depth. So I'm happy they're evolving. I will say.
Andrew, what's your thoughts on round two as a whole?
I mean, there's a lot of Giselle for both players. I thought that was a fun one from the question writers. Very interesting. I think that this is a pretty by-the-books round. Well played. Both competitors doing what they can here. But, I mean, Fast and Furious. And you can knock Mr. Furtado's questions for being easy, John. But I will point out, who played Giselle in the Fast and Furious, not exactly the biggest head scratcher I've ever heard.
Oh, of course. Easy to do that on this side when it's been your benefit. But it's like, come on now. Like, I just want the other people always think about that. But of course, they damn sure were easy.
They have their questions in here. And I do love the play. I think it's well recovered, obviously, by you, John. You played it well. You gave him a good category. I think Amy Adams is a smart pick off the wheel. You're right. A lot of those categories, very much things that he could have excelled in. Maybe comic book movies would have been a better choice. Maybe not. Again, we will never know. That is the problem with the wheel. But good performance by both. And again, I'm just impressed by the both of you because you're both in there. You're both still competing in the match, and you're both still holding pretty strong at this point. And both of you on top of your games, performing. Always on. Andrew Furtado busting out the NOS. That was certainly a good moment. I even saw you, John. I saw you give a little look where that happened. Like, you were like, I can't laugh at this effort.
Right. I can't. Thank God for the shades, man.
Oh, man.
Especially with Andrew across from me. I was like, how the hell? God. But I manage.
But no, it's definitely, it's what a competitor needs to do. When you come from behind, even just a couple points in round number one, your ultimate goal, no matter how the wheel spins out, is to put the pressure on and move yourself into the lead. Even if it's 1 point, that's signaling to your opponent, I'm taking charge, I'm in control, I'm running this thing going into the final round. I think that's well done by Mr. Knight. I think we're moving into a very exciting round number three. And with the scores now fairly close to one another going into that round three, with both competitors having a couple misses under their belt, I got to say, the tension, the drama of the match just builds and builds and builds, because you know at any moment you're going to see one of these guys win and you just can't tell where it's going. I love the uncertainty that we have going out of round number two. I love the performance by both competitors in the round. So, yeah, good round two all around.
So listen, let's move into round three. Knight, obviously, you're up 14-12. Numbers are picked. Furtado hits his two just about. There's a little slip up. One of the two actors in Lethal Weapon, he starts feeling himself, can I answer both? And then nearly says Mel Brooks, but obviously then corrects himself on Mel Gibson. You bounce back with your horror, the 96 franchise, The Scream, go back into the lead. Furtado's three in 80s, The Cher won her Oscar for what? Moonstruck. Furtado does a little bit more kind of character work, saying that it's his wife's favorite film. And then it bounces back to you, and unfortunately, with your old friend, movie release dates, Favreau's Lion King remake, you say 2018, and it's 2019. Was that just mixing up the years? And where, if you don't mind me asking, I know it's hard. And again, I'm trying to be soft here, John. I'm trying to be soft.
Listen, I don't know why the hell they keep thinking my name is fucking Scott Mantz. I don't get – I cannot escape this damn category. Like, I don't – like, minute, and you saw me. Minute I got that movie release dates, I was like, fuck it, congrats. Like, it's like – comes like, how did we get to this point again? And it was the same – and I'll tell you what happened. My thought process with this. Off again by another year. History repeating itself. For some reason, completely forgot we were in 2021 now. Completely.
It has been a long year.
It's been a long decade. It's thrown me off for sure. So I was like, wait. Okay. I know I saw this in the theaters. And again, I'm thinking we're in 2020 for some damn reason, because it's been hell. So I'm like, okay, fine. So it had to be previous year, because I did not see this during COVID times, like, so it has to be 2018. Like, it just has to be yada yada yada. And what pisses me off literally the entire time in my head, I'm saying 2019. I'm literally saying it, 2019. But then I started overthinking it, because I was fine throughout the match. Was no jitters, no nothing. I am, and as you guys saw after the results of the match, I am an extreme competitor. I love the league. I'm passionate about it. I want to have fun, but I'm a competitor at the end of the day. I'm confident. Movie release days happens. It's nothing but scrambled eggs at this point. It's like, I'm like, oh, here we go again. Threw me off completely. Started overthinking. Had the answer right there. Telling myself it's 2019, John. You know it is. But then that mishap happened, and I said 2018, and it bit me in the ass something fierce. So, yeah, it was a lot.
Ryan, as a guy who's looking to make his name and hopefully come into the FCL at some stage. Do you think there's any sort of like science to studying movie release dates potentially, or is it very much a
no?
Is there a science to it? Look, if you know it, you know it. And if you don't, you don't. It's really that simple. If you were there when it came out in theaters, if you were there when you bought it on DVD, when DVD was a thing, if you were there when you bought it on Blu-ray, which Blu-ray is still a thing, you tend to remember some of that stuff. Some people can recall certain movie release dates. Some people can't. It's okay. It's no problem. John, if you know it, you know it. And if you don't, you don't. It's that simple.
It's too bad.
Now, granted, when they were talking about the Lion King remake, there's a little part of me that was kind of also thinking 2018, because we're in 2021. We've been through a lot lately with the pandemic and everything else has been delayed and blah, 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 blah. So there's a little part of me, I'm like, it was 2018, wasn't it? Because that was it wasn't like too long ago, but it was like a year or two ago, right? And then you think to yourself, darn, it was 2019. I was like, darn, because I had high expectations for that remake and it turned out to be hot garbage.
Yeah, that's why I remember saying I was disappointed during that theater the whole time.
So it was like, so garbage-like filmmaking, and I like Jon Favreau a lot, but John, buddy, pal, you crapped the bed on that movie. Like, it's god-awful, man. It doesn't even hold a candle to the 94 masterpiece. Yeah. That being said, Keith, yeah, you either know it or you don't know it. For me personally, I probably would have struggled a little bit with that question too, especially when you're at round three. It's the heat of the moment. You got to pick up these points. You got to pick up the speed, because otherwise – Furtado is just going to say, did you know this, John? Did you know that? And he's going to drink his NOS, and I'm going to be like, dude, get away from me. I don't want to see you. This is stupid. Yeah. But, you know, it was entertaining at the same time. Yeah, I can't knock you for that too hard there, Furtado. I know you're watching. So, yeah, it was a crazy round, wasn't it, Keith?
It was. So, listen, now it's the battle of the fives. It's still to you, John. Biopics, 127 hours, James Franco, boom. And then it's all up to Furtado. Let's see what he's got. Category of Harrison Ford, the 2003 comedy starring Harrison Ford and Josh Hartnett, takes the repeat just to make sure, doesn't want a little slip up like his two-pointer. Unfortunately, Double H, Hollywood Homicide, and your winner. Took a poor old Brad, kind of, I think, had a little bit of a freeze moment. Steph had to jump in, but Furtado 22-21. As again, I come back to the resident Furtado number one fan. Thoughts, Andrew, thoughts?
Well, this is a very interesting round number three. I think it is a story of two competitors who basically run into the same difficulties. As I said, I think there's a lot of performance going on, and I think both of you were doing an amazing job. But I also think that this is maybe where it caught up to Furtado and tonight, and they both had stumbles. The difference, the only difference, the decision-making difference for the match is that Furtado catches himself just in the nick of time and says the correct answer. Mr. Knight, you had the correct answer in your head, and I've been there. I've been in a match with a three-pointer, and knowing these last two questions, they're weighted so heavily. It's 8 points. It's a huge percentage of what you're going to make, and then you screw up that three, and it just sends you into a tailspin. You missed by a year. I said simple instead of easy. It's just going to beat down a competitor, and if you're not ready for it, that can shut your mind down. That can make you doubt yourself, and I saw that in you, John. I saw you say, it's all you. I don't know that you heard the category biopics. You said, I'm not going to get this easily. You got it. Not a big problem. You get to throw it back to him. And you did everything you had to do in this round number three. It's just that one slip. Any given day, one of these two guys could beat the other one. I may be a Furtado fan, but I got to say, John Knight was that close. He was a syllable away. He was one mistake for Furtado or one correction for himself away from being right there at the end of the matchup. So, like I said, the up and down, the back and forth, who's going to win it? Is very exciting. We've got two guys, both of whom are doing an amazing job, both of whom are inspiring a lot of emotion in the viewership, and you want to see who's going to come out on top. For Mr. Knight, John, I'm sorry, unfortunately not going to be that for you today, but you did perform incredibly well. And for Mr. Furtado, hey, I am a huge Furtado fan. I do want to see him succeed. I want to see it win. I'm happy about this. And I just want to say to you, Brad Gilmore, is enough not enough? Can you not give the man a break? You won't even call and your winner. You have to pretend there's technical difficulties so Furtado can't get it from you. No, instead you pass it off to your co-host, Steph Sabratadu.
Amazing. It might have been a parting gift from the collector. It might have been. Who knows?
Yeah.
Nobody knows.
I think it might have been. Of course, he's not here today. Just John Knight with us.
He's, so we'll he's never an asshole. I'll have to ask him when I see him, but I'm pretty sure it might have been something like that. But it's actually funny. So apparently this wasn't caught on on camera or whatever it is during the blip. That's when I did break character and the motions came out. When I knew, because one, I knew who was going to do it. It was like, it's fucking Hollywood homicide. Like, that's mm-hmm. easy. I know you're going to get it. You're just playing the suspense. So I'm like, okay, fine. But when it actually happened, Andrew Werner, yada, yada, I let out a very loud fuck. and I broke and I caught myself. I was like, oh my God. Like, so like, because, you know, cursing is not, you can say a little middle things, but mm-hmm. you can't just blast yourself like that on the FCL. So I'm like, okay. So I was like, oh, did anybody catch that? And I apparently didn't. That was when the freeze, you know, the blip happened. That's a good catch. So like, okay, thank God. I didn't go back to rewatch the match. I had enough torture, so I didn't see if it was seen or not or heard. But yeah, I just thought that was a little funny tidbit where I actually did break character once throughout the match at the very end when that happened. So I thought that was funny. But apparently you couldn't see it, so well.
So, yeah. But I suppose the thing though, John, that I would say, like, is that I'm not the guy in the chair playing, but you performed a lot better than you did in your first match. The only thing that really tripped you up, unfortunately, was your round one. You had a strong round two again, and you hit your five-pointer. There's a lot of people in this league that are not hitting their five-pointers. You did that. So there are a lot of pluses that you can still take away from this. In my opinion, even though you're 0-2 now, you're still one of the top five guys in this league. When I think of the FCL, I think of John Knight. So there's still an awful lot that you can, you know, take away from this fight. And there's also an awful lot that Furtado can take away from this, because he was very much improved on his first match as well. Used his JTEs, had a little bit more strategy in him. You know, and genuinely, I mean this now. I'll break my own character now. There's an awful lot in this league for you still. So it's tough now, but trust me, things are going to turn for you. I have no doubt about that.
Yeah, man. Thank you. It's rough. Like I said, I'm a competitor for sure, and it sucks because the collector is a very big character, you know, speak a lot, say a lot, do a lot. And it sucks because what got me, because I was like, I was in a funk for a bit after I was, because it's one, you have all that going into it, you have all the expectations, you have the hype, you now have the worst damn record in the FCL. And it's like, it comes into a play where you start thinking about the fans and the people rooting for you, the people who are watching. When do they just stop caring now? I was like, well, now this guy just fucking sucks. Because, like, now he's here, he's not doing well, it's the second time he's lost, yada, yada, yada. Those are things that go through my head. And it's like, the positives are there. We talk about it, yes, but it's like, coming from me, it's like, that would be great, but I need the wins to come along with that too, I would like. So it's definitely rough and humbling. Took back to the drawing board. Like I said, I had a good conversation and motivational, you know, speaking, I guess you could say, with the Outlaw after the match regarding that. And it really helped put a lot of perspective in and, you know, my future in the league and just kind of taking this and where to go from it. So it's like, I wanted one or two things to happen. When this happened, if I lost, yeah, that's going to suck. But at the same time, and I don't know if it's tooting my own horn, but I believe this as a factual statement and just what's been going on. I want to say, like I said, me and Furtado were the hypest and the biggest match of the FCL so far. And it's like, whether it's like, hey, you got these losses to you, like you said, top five, it's like, yeah, I pride myself in being one of the faces of the FCL, regardless of records and all that other good stuff. Like, I'm one of the most talked about, along with Furtado. There's David, there's Harley, you know, Harley because he has to be, because, you know, he's going for the championship, he's all right. David I love, and you know, and then there's me and Andrew. So it's like, but nobody mics and MCs like me, nobody. So I'm holding these prides, you know, these prideful things, and trying to hold my head up high. But that record, we gotta turn it around. Like, for sure.
And listen, I genuinely do think you will turn, but I think we've said all that we can say about FCL 9. So listen, let's hit the final full stop on this week's action.
Well, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you, Mr. Knight, about your matchup, as well as all the action on this week in the FCL. We've had a great week. And coming up next week, well, unfortunately, sometimes no news is not good news. We do not know what's going to be happening in those matchups, but you can rest assured that we will be returning, just as we do every week, to give you all of the action, all of the information, and once again, break down everything in the FCL. Thank you so much for joining us. You can hit that like, that subscribe button. And while we're on our way out, why don't we go around the horn and start off with where can we find everybody? Of course, you can find me at Kelk Andrew on Twitter. You can find us as a group at This Week FCL. You can find our super producer, Chris Barnes, at Chris Barnes UK. Of course, check all of those out. Share this video with your friends. Keith, where can everybody find you?
They can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Kekelduff Media, and also check out the opening pair YouTube podcast. Last night, Kyle Gavin had a couple of friends on to break down this weekend's Champions League final between Manchester City and Chelsea. Ryan, where can they find you on all of the things?
Yes, sir. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at RyanRPM5. And also check us out on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at It's Neuroculture. New videos are being posted on our YouTube channel each and every week. So don't forget to like, comment, subscribe, do all that stuff. And I look forward to coming back again next week.
All right. And of course, it would not be the end of the show if we didn't say thank you one more time to our wonderful special guest. This week in the matchups, a knight may have fallen, but we may see the dark knight rise yet, and definitely one of the best performers in the FCL. Always a pleasure to have you join us. Tell everybody what you're up to on the internet, John Knight.
That was sexy. That turned me on a little bit. I like why you said that. All right. Put that together. Very nice. But yes, it's been a pleasure, guys. Thank you for having me. Thank you for reopening, you know, horrible wounds. But it's been a great time. I love it here. And you guys can find me at Knight Entertainment on YouTube. And you can find me on all social media, John Knight double underscore for sure. So come follow me. I have tons of content and hopefully you'll have a good time.
And hopefully you fans have had a good time joining us once again to break down all of the action. We'll be back next week. And as always, a little bit of entertainment from the Elk, the stats from Keith, and opinions coming your way hot from Ryan Permison. We may have another special guest. We'll just have to see as you join us once again next week on This Week in the FCL.